Snap fans. This is Molly welcoming you back to Season 2 of Mysteries About True Histories. Get ready for more math, more history, and of course, more mysteries. Can you believe it? The first day of school.
Not just school, a new school.
Yeah, I'm excited they built a new school that's 847 steps closer than our old school. But it's crazy that it now goes from grades 8 to 12.
Of course you counted the steps.
Also, don't you find the name of our new school ironic?
How so?
I'm just saying. It's a little on the nose, don't you think?
What's on my nose?
No, I don't mean something is literally on your nose. I'm saying it's a strange coincidence that the new school you and I are now going to is named after the author H.G. Wells.
Wait a second. Didn't H.G. Wells help us when we were stuck in those time caves last year?
That's right. Oh, wow. I wonder if my memory is slipping.
Either that, or maybe the problem solvers don't want us remembering too much about our past missions. In case, you know, the bad guys capture us and try to make us talk.
Wow, you sure have an active imagination.
Yep, just like H.G. Wells.
It's quite a coincidence. And like Aunt Murgatroyd says, always be on the lookout for coincidences that are too coincidental.
And here I thought this was just going to be a regular first day of school. New locker, new classes, new people. That's plenty to think about without new puzzles to solve, too.
You're right. No new puzzles. Let's just you and I get through the day and stop looking for clues in everything we see.
Clues? Clues to what?
Huh? Oh, nothing. Just a lot of new things to catch up on. Exciting, but kind of a lot, am I right?
Ugh, freshmen. So much to learn, so much to discover about yourselves, about life. You're gonna want to follow my lead if you want to get through this year.
Oh, are you a senior?
Sophomore. The name's Charlene, and believe me, I've seen a few things in my day. And luckily for you, I can recognize struggling freshmen when I see them.
I wouldn't say we're struggling.
Sure, I'm just saying. Don't worry, I'll look out for you.
Oh, you will, huh? That's, very nice of you.
What she means is thanks. By the way, I'm Max, and this is Molly.
Well, I'm off to homeroom. Room 201. Where are you guys headed?
214, English.
Need help finding it?
I assume the numbers increase chronologically as we go down the hall. I'm sure we can find it.
What Molly means is thanks, but we're good.
Okay, good luck. Later.
You ready?
Yeah. Although, I hope you're not going to spend the entire year telling other people what I meant to say.
Sorry about that. Come on, we're gonna be late on our first day.
Two 212, 213, 214. Wow, look at that. We found room 214 all by ourselves.
Okay. You don't have to be so snarky.
I'm just saying, that sophomore thinks she's seen everything? If she'd seen half of what we've seen as problem solvers, her head would explode.
I know. But hey, at least she's friendly, right?
Yeah, in a main character syndrome kind of way.
Relax. Everyone knows you're the main character in this story. And me too, of course. But since our lockers are right next to hers, we may as well try to get along.
You're right. Sorry. I know what it is. Ever since we moved up a level in the problem-solving order and learned that we'll be facing an even more sinister nemesis in the Pogs, I've been a little on edge waiting for our first problem-solving assignment, which hasn't come for weeks. So now I'm just holding my breath.
Don't worry. It's going to come. Probably when we least expect it.
May I have your attention? Welcome back, students.
Is that who I think it is?
Aunt Em?
A new year is upon us, and with a myriad of opportunities to explore your passions and seek success in academics, sports, music, and other extracurriculars. Freshman tryouts for football, cheerleading, cross-country, tennis, and soccer all begin on Wednesday. Be sure to sign up in the gym and put your best foot forward. Especially all you soccer players.
Is she talking to me?
I can't tell if she's giving clues or just cracking herself up with jokes.
Any problems, don't hesitate to come see me in the counseling office during lunch hour. I'm here to help you solve them. Have a great day.
Okay, that was definitely a clue.
Guess we'd better go find her at lunch.
Fine by me. As long as I can take my fries to go. I heard the cafeteria fries here are fire. I wonder what makes them so good.
Well, they're probably one part potato, three parts salt.
75% salt? I bet that's their secret. Great recipe.
Okay. If everyone's done talking about lunch, maybe we can start our class. Yes?
Yep.
Great. I'm Mr. Avogadro, and welcome to Freshman English.
Aunt Em, want some fries?
Thank you, but 3/4 of that recipe is salt. That's a bit much for me.
I was beginning to wonder if there weren't any problems, or maybe we just weren't needed.
Oh, quite the opposite. On both counts. The problem solvers always value our new conditional recruits, especially ones as clever and energetic as you two.
See, I told you, Molly.
You were right. So, what's the mission?
We've been tracking moles across the globe and across centuries.
Did you mean to say trolls?
Nope, not this time. You thought the trolls were bad. Irritating, yes. Troublesome, definitely. But frankly, they're small time. Perfect for entry-level problem solvers to take on. Nope. I meant moles.
Wait, I thought the pogs were the bad guys.
They are. And the moles who work for the pogs are very smart and very hard to spot.
Historically, a mole is a sort of spy that embeds themselves within the inner workings of an organization or even government in order to pass supposedly secure information to outside forces.
Precisely. They're very stealthy, and their plots are of larger proportions, making them much more malicious than the trolls.
More evil than uninventing ice cream?
I'm afraid so. They threaten to disrupt the structures of whole organizations. So, for instance, instead of merely uninventing ice cream, they could put a system in place to uninvent every dessert worldwide throughout time.
They're monsters.
Yes, but I don't think they're merely going after desserts. I believe they're planning things that are much more nefarious.
Nefarious?
Sneaky and underhanded.
Wicked and criminal.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes.
But what are they after? What's their plan?
That part of it we don't know yet, which means that's your first assignment.
Oh!
I'd like you to visit Ada Lovelace in London, 1842. She's working on expanding upon plans for an analytical engine proposed by Charles Babbage. It is arguably the first computer capable of performing many mathematical functions. But Ada knows that this engine can be capable of so much more.
Sure. Look at computers now. Even our tiny cell phones pack a lot of power.
And when you look at TikTok or Instagram or any kind of app, really, there's an algorithm constantly at work reconfiguring to show you more of the content you love.
Like the best drummers.
Or the world's greatest soccer stars.
Yes, and using the science of mathematics, Lovelace will essentially be building the first algorithm.
Which is why she's considered the first computer programmer.
Well done, Max. Understanding how small changes can affect large systems that can either enhance or disrupt our lives will help us all be more prepared to discover what the moles have in store and to battle them when the time comes. Do you understand the gravity of your assignment?
We sure do.
You got it, Aunt Em.
Back in time for the afternoon classes.
Are you the problem solvers I've been told to expect?
We are. He's Max, I'm Molly.
Ada. So I understand the computers in the future are extremely advanced. Maybe you can teach me something.
I'm kind of embarrassed to say I use computers all the time, but I still don't really understand how they work.
In a way, we kind of take them for granted.
I see. As I always say, we must enter fully into all the very difficult and abstract questions concerned with our subject. For that is how we learn, grow, and improve.
Gotcha. Say, maybe you can give us a basic explanation of your system so we can know what, difficult and abstract questions to ask.
Happily. Babbage imagined a design for a computing machine not unlike a weaving loom, a mechanical device that outputs patterns of intricate design. Punch cards would be used to share input with the machine. The machine would be calibrated to calculate the input in a consistent way that produces the desired output.
I think I understood 10% of that.
The punch cards have information on them arranged in rows and columns. When put through the machine's mechanical gears, which must be hand-cranked or powered by gravity weight or steam, will inform the movement of the machine to replicate a mathematical pattern.
Okay, now I'm down to 6%.
Wait, I think I get it. Simply speaking, I could program the machine so that every time I introduce a number, it will be multiplied by itself, and the output will be square of that number.
Exactly, Max.
2 times 2 is 4. 4 times 4 is 16. 16 times 16 is... give me a second. 256.
Nice. As the numbers become greater, the calculations are more difficult to do in your head. That's why we build computing machines. 256 times 256 is very hard to do in your head and would take a minute or two on paper, but can be done in seconds with an analytical engine.
I love it!
Did you know punch card computing systems will be in use until about the mid-1980s?
Wait, are you saying our machine will be built?
Oh yeah! In fact, many machines using the punch card principle will be in use for decades before they're updated to a more digital and less mechanical version based on the same concept.
Wow. So what I'm imagining and working on is operations that can be organized into groups that can be repeated, creating a loop. The computer can be used for much more than math equations.
Like what?
For example, we can input conditional statements, also known as if-then statements. They could be simple or complex. Here's a pleasant example. If you say, "Hi, Ada," then I will pay you a compliment.
Hi, Ada.
My, aren't you very clever, Molly? The larger the mechanical machine, or the greater the computing power, the more information and greater number of conditions we can input,
yielding an exponentially greater number of outputs.
Yes, you learn quickly.
That means algorithmically, and with the right computing systems and tools, the moles could say, if an invention gets created anywhere in time, then that patent gets destroyed.
Careful. Don't give them any ideas.
Wow, they really are nefarious.
Now that we have a better understanding of what these machines are capable of, we better figure out what the pogs and moles are planning to do with this power.
Thank you, Ada.
Good luck, problem solvers.
Geez, thanks to their moles, the pogs really could be capable of widespread destruction. But how do we stop them or even discover their plot so we can map out our own counter strategy?
First, we have to figure out who are the moles. A mole's job is to blend in seamlessly and avoid raising suspicions so they can do their evil work undetected. How do we even spot a mole?
Hi, Max. Hi, Molly. Wow, are you guys always this jumpy?
No.
Well, at least we're in agreement. You guys find everything okay?
Yes.
No.
Oh. Well, I'm always here in case you need me help rooting out any information or digging up answers. About the school, I mean.
Okay. Right.
I'm always here for you. I hope you find what you're looking for. Bye.
Yikes. It's hard enough making new friends as it is. Now I'm going to suspect everyone of being a mole.
There are how many students in this school? Around 1,200? I bet most moles work alone. It's easier that way, and they're less likely to be detected.
So, if there is a student mole, there's probably only one?
Yes, out of 1,200.
or 0.83%, which is less than 1%.
That's good, right?
Well, that's good in terms of less than 1% of students here are evil, but it makes our job of finding that one student way more difficult. Unless they slip up and do something really obvious.
Actually, we can eliminate two people right off the bat. Us!
Right. So one in 1,198 students, or 0.0834% instead of 0.0833%, that really increases our odds. Looking around, the whole school looks suspicious to me.
Yeah, well, we're gonna look sus too if we don't hustle to class. I got geometry next.
I've got band.
Rock on! See you after school?
Of course.
Yep, I'm always here for you.
This episode of Mysteries About True Histories was written by Libby Ward and voiced by Dexter Danger Mayo, Molly Smith, Sheila Morris, Rain Morris, Chris Okawa, and Emma Wilson. Original music by Brian Suarez. Our associate producer is Max Kamaski. Technical direction and sound design by Josh Hahn. Mysteries About True Histories was created and produced by Adam Tex Davis and Jerry Colbert and is an Atomic Audio production.
Moshe, vem tomar.